In the background, in the microphones which we have placed on the house floor, you can hear the din, the conversation which is set up by these members of Congress as they await the banging of the gavel of the Speaker of the House. Incidentally, I was in the Speaker's office just a few minutes ago when one of the men here in the Capitol brought in 12 brand new shiny gavels. They're made of wood, of course, and they're made here in the carpenter shop in the Capitol. And I asked why it was necessary to have so many. Well, it seems that sometimes when the House is just a little unruly and doesn't come to order quite as willingly as it might, the Speaker gets just a little bit, shall we say, vehement with those gavels, and they will break when they come down on the Speaker's desk. So the 12, which will certainly suffice for a little while, will not be enough if this session is a long one. They'll have to make some more of them and supply them with another batch. The galleries, which were a little slow filling up today, are completely filled now. Of course, as a rule, when the President of the United States comes here to make his addresses, entrance to the gallery is by cards only, and cards are given out for all of the gallery seats as well as the aisle steps. But today, the opening day, the Speaker now raps his gavel, calling the second session of the 74th Congress to order. You hear the applause which greets him as he takes his place at the Speaker's desk.
House of Representatives will be in order. Chaplain will offer prayer.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, Thou who hast set Thy glory above the heavens, as we wait in the afterglow of a new year, do Thou imbue us with knowledge and understanding, that we may be altogether worthy of the vocation whereunto we have been called. We would be still and know that Thou art God, and receive the inspiration to sacrificial labors and righteous achievements. Bow down, O Lord God, that we may urgently feel the vast responsibilities which are beating everywhere. Enable us to distinguish between liberty and justice, purity and impurity in those things that make for good citizenship. Graciously abide with our President, our Speaker, the members, officers, and employees of this Congress. Stimulate every impulse that makes for wise statesmanship, and inspire us to toil with a brave heart that makes strong our breast and light our steps. We pray Thee, our Heavenly Father, to build within our own civilization a kingdom of God full of blessedness, and purge the Babylons of hate and oppression in all this old earth. We praise Thee for our republic, for its glorious company of apostles of truth, for its noble army of martyrs for humanity. Gracious God, hear us as we pray that in all this old land of ours, the people may be brought to a realization that life is more than livelihood. It is love. It is beauty. It is sonship with God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, fill our homes with melody and peace. And unto the glory of Thy holy name be praises forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.
Clerk will call the roll for the purpose of ascertaining the presence of a quorum.
Adair. Present. Allen. Hamley. Andreessen, Andrew, Massachusetts.
House received in order and ordered to let me hear the response. Impossible for the clerk to proceed to the roll call so long as there's so much confusion in the chamber. Can't trust the members with these conversations in order that this roll call may be proceeded with and members may be able to hear their names and the clerk the responses. Clerk will proceed to the roll call.
Andrews of New York. Aaron. Ashbrook.
Present.
Present. Ayers.
Here.
Present. Bacharach.
Present.
Present. Bacon. Bankhead, present. Barden, present. Beam, Biter, present. Bell, present. Berlin, present. Bierman, present. Binderup, present. Blackney, present. Bland, Blanton, present. Bloom, present. Bainey, present. Boileau, present. Boland, present. Bolton, present. Boykin, present. Boylan, of New York, Brennan, Brewster, present. Brooks, present. Brown of Georgia, present. Brown of Michigan, Buchanan, present. Buck, present. Buckby, present. Butler, Buckley, Bullwinkle, present. Birch, present. Burdick, present. Burnham, present. Caldwell, present. Cannon of Missouri, Cannon of Wisconsin, Carlson, present. Carmichael, Carpenter, present. Carter, present. Cartwright, present. Carey, present. Casey, present. Castello, present. Cavicchia, present. Sella, Chandler, present. Chapman, present. Christensen, Church, present. Fitzgerald, present. Claiborne, Claiborne. No, that's right, he's not. Claiborne, Clark of Idaho. Present, Clark of North Carolina. Present, Cochran.
Here.
Present, Coffee. Present, Colden. Present, Cole of Maryland. Present, Cole of New York. Present, Collins. Present, Kalma. Present, Connery of Massachusetts. Present, Cooley.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the opening roll call, the call to ascertain whether or not there is a quorum in order that the opening session of the second session of the 74th Congress can be ready to do business. The Speaker of the House called the House to order promptly at 12 o'clock and directed the call of the roll just a few minutes after that. And now, in our improvised studio here on the House of the floor of the House of Representatives, we have asked Mr. J. Fred Esrey, Chief of the Washington Bureau of the Baltimore Sun, to come in and give you some of his interesting comments on the likely work that will be accomplished by this session of Congress. It's our pleasure to introduce Mr. Esrey.
Let's see, ladies and gentlemen, where shall I begin? Begin at the beginning, I suppose. First things first, to borrow another phrase. Although bereft of some of the drama attending the opening of the three earlier Roosevelt sessions of Congress, that is, when New Deal developments were exploding all around us, the session which convened at noon today has both its important phases and its colorful possibilities. Its importance lies in the fact that it will be called upon at once to deal with soldier bonus legislation, an outline of which was agreed upon and announced by the three World War Veterans Associations last night. The Congress, furthermore, will be called upon to enact a new and permanent neutrality policy. The framework of this policy has been laid by administration officials, and it too will be embodied in a bill to be introduced in the course of the day. Congress, moreover, will be called upon to appropriate not less than $5,500,000,000 for the running expenses of the government, for the national defense, and to carry along various emergency projects already authorized. And what is perhaps more important still, and I say it seriously, Congress may be called upon first to pick up and then to patch up the wreckage of many of the New Deal measures, wreckage thrown upon the legislative doorstep when the Supreme Court shall have ruled upon the constitutionality of the AAA, coal control, TVA, cotton control, securities control, regulation of both holding companies and labor disputes, practically the whole of the New Deal program. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the shadow of the Supreme Court more completely envelops Congress at this time than at any other within our recollection. The ears of legislators will be trained, I almost said strained, throughout the whole session for the rulings which will come to them from the marble palace of justice on the other side of Capitol Plaza. It is no exaggeration to say that many of the colorful possibilities of the next few months lie in that quarter. Others proceed from the fact that Congress is assembling in an atmosphere surcharged with the sharp and biting partisanship which always asserts itself at the beginning of a presidential campaign. Now, that is one of the reasons why the president's annual message to be delivered in person at 9 o'clock tonight before a joint session of the House and Senate has become a matter not only of intense interest, but one of bitter controversy, even before it has been heard. The controversy arises from the fact that the Republican leaders look upon this message, soon to be broadcast to the country, under unusual and almost unprecedented circumstances. They look upon it more as a campaign document than as a report of the chief executive on the State of the Union. It is even reported tonight that unanimous consent, that is, was reported last night, and we have reason to believe, even up to this hour today, that unanimous consent on the part of the House for such a session will be denied the president, and that a special rule may be necessary to overcome a parliamentary objection. Representative Robert F. Rich, a Republican of Pennsylvania, has announced that he will make that objection. He is now on the floor of the House. This, of course, would create a temporary flurry only, but it would be a symptom at least of the partisan spirit that already is rampant in congressional circles, a spirit I predict which will enliven the proceedings of the House and Senate until the very day of adjournment. Meanwhile, the legislative bodies will find themselves face to face with a united demand on the part of the veterans' organizations calling for full face value payment of the unpaid half of the soldier bonus. This would be accomplished by direct appropriation of $1 billion and by federal securities issued against $500 million of United States insurance reserves. It is estimated by the veterans that an additional $500 million in adjusted service certificates will not be cashed by their holders. No printing press money is contemplated. Currency inflation, in other words. That means the scrapping of the original Patman bill. No partial payments will be acceptable, which means the scrapping also of the Byrne-Stiver bill. While this present measure was being drafted for introduction in both the House and Senate today, neutrality legislation also was being given its finishing touches for formal presentation at the same time. Broadly speaking, the administration proposes that the legislative chairman in Congress accept a neutrality measure which makes it mandatory on the part of the president to embargo the export from the United States of arms and munitions to belligerent governments. The measure allows the president discretion in adding to the embargo list such other war-making commodities as oil, copper, and cotton, commodities which he may deem to be advisable under the embargo plan. Also, there will be provisions in the neutrality bill to cover the extension of credits to belligerents, warning traders with nations at war. That they will operate at their own risk, and other provisions warning Americans against traveling in war zones or upon the vessels of warring nations. The text of the compromise bill has not been given out, but when it is, in a few hours, it will indicate that the American government is prepared to turn its back upon many of the rights of neutrals that were insisted upon during the World War, and which eventually dragged this country into that ghastly conflict. The stage is being set at once, therefore, for two of the major parliamentary battles of the session. Payment of the bonus will precipitate one, the first of these contests, and the enactment of a rigid neutrality law to become effective when the temporary measure, now in effect, expires at the end of February, will bring on the second.
Thank you very much, Mr. Essery. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Mr. J. Fred Essery, Chief of the Washington Bureau of the Baltimore Sun, commenting on some of the measures which are to come before this session of Congress, which has just opened. And now for a few moments, we're going to take you back directly to the floor of the House of Representatives in order that you can hear the roll call, which is continuing.
Pfizer here. Pfizer here. Pfeiffer. Present. Here. Here. Present. Bittinger. Present Plumlee. Present Polk. Present Powers. Present Quinn. Present Rabo. Present Ramsey. Present Ramsick. Present Randolph. Rankin. Present Ransley. Present Rayburn. Rayburn. Reese. Present Reed of Illinois. Reed of New York. Present Riley. Present Rich. President Richards of South Carolina, President Richardson of Pennsylvania, President Riss, President Robertson of Virginia, Robinson of Utah, Robson, Rogers of Massachusetts, President Rogers of New Hampshire, President Rogers of Oklahoma, President Romjew, President Rudd, Russell, Ryan, Sabbath is here.
Sadowski.
Sanders of Louisiana. Sanders of Texas. Yeah. Present Sandlin.
Sandlin.
Sadoff. Yeah. Present Schaefer. Present Snyder of Wisconsin. Yeah. Present Schultz. Yeah. Present Cody. Yeah. Present Scott. Yeah. Present Strugham. Yeah. Present Sears. Yeah. Present Seacrest. Yeah. Present Seeger. Yeah. President Stanley, President Shannon, Short, Sirovich, Sisson, President Smith of Connecticut, President Smith of Virginia, President Smith of Washington, President Smith of West Virginia, Snell, President Snyder, Pennsylvania, President Summers, South, President Spence, President Stack, Starn, President Seagull, Stephan, President Stewart, Stubbs, President Sullivan, President Sumners, President Sutphin, President Sweeney, President Tabor, President Sutphin's here, Sweeney's here, Tabor's here, Tarver, President Taylor of Colorado, President Taylor of South Carolina, President Taylor of Tennessee, Terry, President Tom, Thomas, President Thomason, Thompson, yes. President Thurston, yes. President Pigam, yes. President Toby, Colin, yes.
Toby here, Colin here,
Conry of New York, Fenway, yes. Here, Turner, yes. Here, Turpin, yes. Present, Olmsted, yes. Here, Underwood, yes. Present Utterback, President Vincent of Georgia. President Vincent of Kentucky. President Wadsworth. President Walgren. President Walter. President Warren. President Waring. President Weaver. President Welch. President Werner. President West. West. President Welchel. President White. Whittington. President Wigglesworth. President Wilcox. President Williams. President Wilson of Louisiana. Wilson of Pennsylvania. President Withrow. President Walters. President Wolfenden. Wolverton. Wood. President Woodruff of Michigan. President Woodrum of Virginia. President Young. President Cimarron. President Zionchek.
Ready for the second?
Allen.
Here.
Present. Hamley. Andreessen. Andrew, Massachusetts. Andrews of New York. Arn. Present. Bacon. Beam. Bland of Virginia. Borland of New York. Brennan. Brown of Michigan. Buckler. Buckley, Cannon of Missouri. Present. Cannon of Wisconsin. Carmichael. Stellar. Christensen. Claiborne. Cooper of Ohio. Citron. Cooper of Ohio. Corning. Crossing of Ohio. Crowder. Present. Daly, Deer, Jarowen, Dingell, Dirksen, Duffy, Duffy here, Duffy of Ohio, Eagle, Duffy of New York, didn't answer, Duffy of Ohio first time, Eagle answered, Edmiston, Evan, Piesinger, Fish, Ferguson, he's here, Gambrell, present, Gaskey, Dingery, Greenway, Greenwood, Greenwood's up in the, he's here, Mr. Fish is present, Fish is here, Harlan, Haley, Henning, and Hopple, Hollister, Holmes, President Holmes, Jenkins, Johnson of Oklahoma, I got you, Johnson of West Virginia, President Jones, Jones, didn't answer, he of West Virginia, Kennedy of Maryland, Kennedy's here, Kelly, don't answer, Carr, President Carr, Clayburg, Cavalli, present. Yeah, Molly's present. Lambertson, Lambeth, Larrabee, Lisinski, Lewis of Maryland, Lord Lundeen, McCormack, McGehee, McCormack's here, McGehee, McKeel, McLeod, Moss, Mark Antonio, Marshall, present Marshall, Montague, Monte, Murdoch, I got you, Harder, Murdoch, Nichols, Norton, Oliver, Patman,
Patman's here, Patman's here,
Rayburn, here, Reed of Illinois. Present. Robertson of Virginia. Present. Robinson of Utah. Robson. Rod. Russell. Ryan. Sandowski. Sanders of Louisiana. Sandlin. Shannon. Short. Shannon here. Short. Zilovich. Smith of West Virginia. Present. Summers. Beck. Gall.
Here.
Present. Stewart. Taylor of Tennessee.
Here.
Present. Cobb. Thomason. Condry of New York. Present. White. Wilson of Louisiana. Wolfenden. Present, Wolfenden. Wilmerton. Present. Huh? That's you, Wilson.
That's Zion. Zion check.
Mr. Bland is present. Yes, that's Mr. Wilcox. Mr. Dingell is here. Mr. Bacon is here. Mr. Crosser of Ohio. Mr. Struggum. Mr. Nichols.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the proceedings from the floor of the House of Representatives for just a moment and take you to the Senate wing of the Capitol.
Here at the other end of the Capitol building, our microphones are set up in the anteroom to the old Supreme Court chamber, which adjoins the Senate chamber. This historic Supreme Court chamber, as you know, has been the scene of numerous important decisions in the past. It is now vacant and is to be put to other uses. But through the anteroom windows here, we can see across the Capitol Plaza the imposing new home of the Supreme Court. It's a magnificent marble structure now occupied by the justices of the Supreme Court. The activity on the Senate side has subsided somewhat since the Senate has just recessed until 8:45 tonight. However, the Honorable Joseph T. Robinson of Arkansas, Senate Majority Leader, has taken a moment from his many duties in this connection with the opening day to come to our microphone. Upon Senator Robinson rests the responsibility for planning and directing the administration program through the Senate during the coming session. And this morning, he will briefly outline the legislation and the problems facing the Senate this session. Senator Robinson.
The convening of the second session of the 74th Congress is marked by a quickening of interest at the Capitol in public affairs. The thought is generally entertained by members of the House and Senate that the session should be comparatively brief and that the pressure for emergency legislation has been relaxed. Nevertheless, there is an abundance of work to be done. Recognizing that the approach of the national election tends to the injection of partisanship into matters which may best be dealt with otherwise, it seems to be sound policy to limit legislative action to subjects of commanding importance and urgency. Without attempting to enumerate now these subjects in detail, the problems they involve are of sufficient magnitude and difficulty to keep both houses busy until late in the spring. I expect a harmonious but very active session.
Thank you, Senator. You've been listening to the Honorable Joseph T. Robinson, Senator from Arkansas and Majority Leader of the Senate, outlining the legislative plans and prospects for this session of Congress. We return you now to the House of Representatives.
Anthony J. Griffin, deceased. Third Michigan, Verner W. Maine. Henry M. Kimball, deceased. Very respectfully, South Thimble, Clerk of the House of Representatives.
The members-elect will assemble in the well of the House and take the oath of office as prescribed by law.
Just a moment ago here in the House of Representatives, the Honorable William H. Bankhead, Majority Leader of the House, came in and received the ovation of the House. And now the oath to the new members.
That you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That you take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter. So help you God.
I do.
All right.
gentleman from Alabama, Mr. Bankhead.
The tremendous ovation greets Mr. William B. Bankhead, majority leader of the House, as he is recognized for the first time this year. He was ill all of last year.
Clerk will read the request.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that notwithstanding the rules of the House, it shall be in order at any time on Friday, January 3rd, 1936, for the majority leader to move that the House take a recess and that such motion be made of the highest privilege.
Is there objection?